What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Untapped North. This is episode 4, coming to you on this May 3rd, Monday. I am your host, Andrew Stewarts, and I just want to give a huge shout out to anyone and everyone who is tuning in from wherever you are listening from. I know it's been a little while since our last episode, but here we are with episode 4. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk to you about the Toronto Blue Jays. They are putting the pieces together early on in this season. I want to touch upon that. I want to get into the Montreal Canadiens. It is crunch time for the Montreal Canadiens going into the final week and a little bit of the season. And on the flip side of that, I want to touch upon the Toronto Maple Leafs. Could this be the year? Could this be the year? Three exciting topics today. Without wasting any time, let's get into it. Here we go. With just under 30 games played this season, the Toronto Blue Jays are second in the American League East and are just 1.5 games back of the Boston Red Sox, who have actually played three more games than the Jays to this point. Even though it's still considered early in the season, the Jays have shown some really great moments, as well as some bad ones, which actually haven't been as often as some may have thought going into the season's start. Like a lot of baseball teams, sometimes scoring runs can be an issue. The Blue Jays, when they do score runs, have a tendency to score them often and enough to win them games. When the bats are cold, however, they are ice cold. This team doesn't have an in-between. This team relies heavily on the leadoff hitter, and then, of course, the five first bats in the lineup, much like most teams in the MLB. This year, leading the charge offensively is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's currently boasting a batting average of .337 and currently leads the team in RBIs with 20. He also leads the team in on-base percentage, slugging, and hits. Not to mention, he's also leading the team in walks with 22. So needless to say, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the true offensive catalyst for this Blue Jays team right now, and without him there is absolutely no way that they are second in the AL East. As far as home runs go, because let's get real, everybody loves dingers, the Blue Jays currently have four players with five or more home runs going into tonight's game against the Athletics. Bo Bichette and Vladdy are tied with seven home runs apiece, while shortstop Marcus Semien has six, and outfielder Randall Grichuk has five. All four of those players have, for the most part, batted in the top six of the batting order all season, and again speak volumes as to why the Blue Jays have been finding their rhythm offensively as of late. Coming off a three-game sweep of the Atlanta Braves this past weekend. Now, pitching hasn't been all that bad either, despite some bullpen arms having blown up ERAs. You have guys like Ryu, who is leading the charge with a 2.6 ERA, although he's only just got one win registered this season. Off-season acquisition Steven Matz has four wins to his credit, although his ERA sits around closer to four. Not the highest ERA out there, but definitely not what the Blue Jays are looking for right now, early on. Ideally, we want to see that ERA get a little closer to three, the 2.5 range, because then we're not asking the offense to supply an abundance of runs every time Matz goes to the plate. Now, again, Matz does have an ERA around the four mark, which isn't all that shocking. He's come into this season as the acquisition, having no lower than an ERA of, I believe, 2.9 in his very first season. And it wasn't even a full season for him. So around the four mark is no surprise, but definitely a number that the Blue Jays would like to see go down as the season progresses. Now, this week is going to be a true test for this team as they embark on a road trip that sees them take on the Oakland Athletics, the Houston Astros, and again, the Atlanta Braves, before returning back to Dunedin, Florida, to face the Philadelphia Phillies. While the Athletics have come back to earth after their impressive win streak earlier this season, they are coming off a win last night against the Baltimore Orioles. The Athletics are currently 5-4 against American League East teams, so it will be exciting to see if the Blue Jays can capitalize on not the strongest record for the Athletics against the AL East. That game kicks off at first pitch tonight at 9:40 p.m., and you can obviously catch that on Sportsnet. Steven Matz is starting for the Blue Jays, so we'll look for him to get win number 5 and hopefully an ERA below 4. Next, our next topic, crunch time for the Montreal Canadiens. The Montreal Canadiens are, in my opinion, in a must-win situation from now pretty much until the end of the season. A task that isn't impossible, but will obviously be an uphill battle, with 6 games left over the next 9 days. Ideally, the Montreal Canadiens can win 4 of this remaining 6. While the Calgary Flames are almost out of playoff contention, they are behind the Habs by 8 points. Both teams have 50 games played. So long as the Habs don't lose out these next 6 games, the playoffs are within sights for the Canadiens. Even if they don't look as though they deserve to be there, the fight and grit with this team is definitely evident. They went through a coaching change, which didn't prove to be any sort of solution whatsoever. They have had players out with COVID, players out with leave of absences, an abundance of injuries. So you can say that this team has truly seen it all throughout this shortened NHL season, but luckily have managed to put themselves in a making the playoffs situation. Tyler Toffoli, off-season acquisition, is continuing to lead the way in terms of points and goals, as he has 40 points and 27 goals this season. Jeff Petrie, he leads the team in assists with 25, while youngster Nick Suzuki is right behind him with 22. Now, I cannot say enough good things about the play and the hockey IQ of Nick Suzuki this season. This kid is tearing it up, albeit sometimes a little quieter than some players, but he's third on the team in points with 34 and has 5 power play goals this season. One of my favorite players to watch, and I think the development and the experience that he can gain, and a lot of the team can gain throughout a playoff run, would do this team a lot of justice and positive going forward. Now, there isn't much to get into in regards of goaltending. The goaltending has been mediocre all season at best. Jake Allen has a 2.58 goals against average, while Carey Price has a 2.64. So, needless to say, they're both averaging 2.5 goals a game, which isn't bad. However, when the Canadiens score less than 3 goals a game, they have less than 10 wins this season. When they score 3 or more games so far this season, they have boasted 18 wins. So, if the goaltending can tighten up and average 1.5 or even 2 goals a game, the Canadiens have a much higher chance of winning these remaining 6 games, as well as succeeding into the postseason. Carey Price has only one shutout this season. In fact, it's the only shutout for the Montreal Canadiens this season, which to me simply isn't good enough for, quote, the best goalie in the world. So, what does this mean for the Canadiens in the playoffs? Well, you look at the team, I wouldn't want to face Carey Price in a playoff series despite his mediocre play this season, because we do know him for being the guy who can alter the outcome of any game simply based on how he is playing. If the Montreal Canadiens can get some momentum going and have everyone healthy come playoff time, there is a chance that this team could make a run, limited to maybe one or two rounds, but they will make a run nonetheless. Now, speaking of a team who can make a run, for sure, the Toronto Maple Leafs. On the flip side to the Canadiens, the Leafs are a juggernaut. This team looks really good, and I think this could finally be the year that they make that big push towards the Stanley Cup, with the ability to get through to the second round and throughout a playoff season without having to face the Boston Bruins, might just be the magic that this Toronto Maple Leafs team needs. Now, Austin Matthews, although he won't hit the 50-50 mark like I suspected in an earlier episode this season, he is leading the charge offensively for the Toronto Maple Leafs with 38 goals and is second on the team in points with 62. Right behind him, you have Mitch Marner, who boasts 46 assists and is first on the team in points with 64. This tandem of Matthews and Marner are scary. Their ability to change a game in an instant and create so many offensive chances makes them one of the scariest duos in the NHL, albeit behind Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. The goaltending for the Leafs has been great. A feel-good story, to say the least, with the resurgence of Jack Campbell. Boasting a goals against average of 2.07 and a save percentage of 927, he is a major reason why the Leafs have been able to continue dominating. He has 15 wins, and in my opinion, should be the Leafs' starting goalie when the playoffs start. Some would argue that Frederik Andersen is the better goalie of the two, but I don't know how you start the goalie who has single-handedly stepped into the starter role for this team and made it his own. He's looked comfortable, more comfortable than Andersen has in net, and has bailed the Maple Leafs out of chances unimaginable in some other seasons, to be honest. There are times where I've seen Andersen crumble under pressure, either late goals or the classic glove side goals, but I don't see that with Jack Campbell. Plus, with the last-minute trade deadline acquisition of goaltender David Rittich from the Calgary Flames, it almost leads you to believe that Andersen won't be healthy enough for the playoffs, or that the Maple Leafs don't have any intentions of rushing him back in two games. I think they have a solid 1-2 punch in Campbell and Rittich right now, and even benching one of those two could be enough to upset the chemistry that the Leafs are cooking with right now. So I think management has some big decisions to make going forward, both in the playoffs and in the offseason. Like, do we see Andersen get moved after the season is over? Maybe the Leafs actually trade one of these extra goalies who's having a strong season after boasting some strong numbers. Maybe they can get an inflated return for a goalie. Time will have to tell on that front, but I do believe that Jack Campbell is the guy to go for Game 1 in the Toronto Maple Leafs playoffs. Now, the Leafs and the Habs play one another three more times before the season is over, with playoff implications and possible foreshadowing of a playoff series at stake. I think we are in for a very entertaining week in the North Division as we embark on the final 2 weeks of the NHL season. ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for me on this Monday, May 3rd. I want to thank you for tuning in. Make sure you give me a follow on Instagram and Facebook at Untapped North. That is at UntappedNorth. Don't forget to also check out untappednorth.com/WordPress, which is our brand new website that we are rolling out. You'll find forums, live stats, blogs, and previous episodes of Untapped North all in one convenient location. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is untappednorth.com/WordPress. Thank you again for listening to episode 4. My name is Andrew Stewart. Have a great day, and until next time.